Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, it's the first day of the legislature as we tape this broadcast. So Bill Brainerd, Marlene Lockhart, and Mary Lau are here to talk about it. Plus, Lee Gibson, along with Paul Enos from the RTC, we're talking roads. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concept are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we start out with our Power Pundit panel today because it's the 7th of February as we tape this, and it's the morning of the start of the 2011 session. Guest Bill Brainerd, the community activist, Marlon Lockhart, principal with Capital Partners, and Mary Lau, president of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. Mary, your thoughts as we go into this session.
It's going to be a sad 120 days. It's going to be interesting. Difficult decisions are going to have to be made. I'm hoping that somebody will listen to the governor and his calls three times now for decorum and proper conversation and agree to disagree and debate things nicely and things. We'll see. I've already been in one meeting. I was shocked at the tenor and tone of it. But there's a lot to be accomplished in a very short period of time, which can be done.
Marlene, your thoughts?
I think it's going to be a very difficult decision and in our session with difficult decisions to be made. It's a very tough year. It's a tough year for Nevadans, and what is proposed will really impact lots of lives in this state. So I agree with Mary. I hope that everyone can sit down and try to just put politics aside for 5 minutes and really try to figure out what's in the best interest of the state.
Okay, Bill?
Well, I agree with the ladies. It's going to be a very difficult session. Not only that, we have a reapportionment that we're going to have to deal with, but back on the economic topic. I think Brian Sandoval is on the correct path. He's saying justify what you're spending, not just spending it because it used to be there.
You know, it's interesting because you have so many other things in play. You know, you have people who are term limited in leadership who are looking to run for other offices. How does this play into the big picture?
Yeah, it's a fascinating scenario now because you've had new people in. You had the resignation of Senator Raggio, so you've got a new person in that seat, Greg Brower. He has been a legislator before, but he's been out of the process for quite a while. And you have the turnover stuff, as Mr. Brainerd mentioned. You've got reapportionment, so people are jockeying for position. Northern Nevada is going to be worried about which seat's going away. And then you've got new people in the form of lobbyists, and you have new people in the form of staff at Legislative Council Bureau. So it is going to be a whole new ball game with a whole new tenor to it.
And the conservatives are much more conservative than they were previously.
Yes, light years difference. And I think this legislature is really going to miss Senator Raggio. He had was a truly a leader and could bring people together. Even with differing views in his party, he could bring them together. And he knew he knew how to close down a session. I'm concerned that
in terms of the negotiations.
Exactly.
The negotiations, and we have a brand new Secretary of the Senate. We have somebody who's never been in the political process before, and Mr. Horsford put this person in charge of the Senate. So that is very disconcerting.
Mm-hmm. You have thoughts on that?
Well, of course, I agree. I was very sad to see Senator Raggio resign. Greg Brower, we worked on his campaign when he ran here several years ago, so we're very pleased that he's been appointed. But, you know, the loss of Raggio is a big loss, especially here for the northern part of the state, although he always took, you know, he took the broad view, the entire state. But it was nice to have somebody that powerful up here who would at least make sure that we got an even break.
Interesting to see a Mary, you want to jump in?
Well, it's just that you use the word power, and power is perception. In reality, and Bill is very, very powerful. But that doesn't mean that Senator McGinnis is not going to be powerful, that the caucus is not going to be powerful. It's a finite subject, but it's also perception. So I'm not too worried about the loss of power.
Does Senator Raggio still have a role to play?
I think
we had a time when the Supreme Court seemed to be run by somebody who was formerly on the Supreme Court.
I think that he will play a role. I think there are still many people who will look to him for some guidance and for some solutions as they begin to navigate. And I think he'll be a resource to members of his party in the legislature of trying to help them figure out how to resolve some of these issues, because there will be negotiating no matter what. You can't have a legislative session without it.
So. When Joe Dini left, I called him at home for at least 2 years, if not more, after he resigned.
And he didn't say, "Mary, stop."
He was very gracious.
Also interesting that as Democrats look to try and peel off Republicans to vote with them in cases where they want to raise taxes, that you're seeing senators like John Lee, a Democrat, saying no. He's saying he doesn't want to do that.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. You know, he ran for governor, as I recall Lee did. In any event,
I don't think so.
What did he run for? Senate? He ran for
Controller.
One of those. Was that it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ran for state office, so I think he has a feeling for what the state wants as opposed to what its party wants, so that's good.
So everybody at this table, calm on day one. Just a quick answer, how do you think you're going to be on day 120? Looking
calm.
At the next special session?
Calm. The secret is you care, but not that much. Don't get into the fray. Just stay balanced, centered, and work for the common good.
Marlene, you have the last word.
I agree.
And that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers with Paul Enos and Lee Gibson after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Attention diabetics, if you've taken the diabetes drug Avandia, listen carefully.
If a member of your family has suffered a heart attack, stroke, or even died while taking Avandia, call the attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you or a loved one have taken this drug and were injured, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
For a free legal consultation, call 800-595-6139.
You don't owe us anything unless we're successful.
Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Lee Gibson. He's the executive director of the RTC in Northern Nevada for Washoe County. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. Last time you were here, we were talking about the sustainability conference. What's the follow-up to that?
Well, I think the follow-up to the sustainability conference is, one, to keep the dialogue going. As you may recall, this really came about because a bunch of people, friends, were talking about how difficult it was to watch folks leave town. We have watched development fall off. We've watched local government come under huge financial pressures. But at the same time, we're being asked to look at ways to diversify the economy. And so the dialogue that was started with the Northern Nevada Transportation Sustainability Summit will continue. We're going to look at ways, with the limited means we have, to invest our transportation dollars in projects that will help create long-term permanent value. We want to continue to work with the private sector on innovative delivery strategies and helping the private sector invest and move forward.
Well, Lee, what's the percentage? Because you guys wear two hats. You guys, you know, you do the roads, but then you're also a transit authority. What percentage of RTC is transit? What percentage is roads?
I'd say probably about 80% of us, our investments are roads, and the 20% is in transit. You know, transit, as you know, the RTC2 or ballot measure back in 2009 did not go through. We've had to go through a series of cuts and retrenchment, and we always have approached the transit side as a business, and we're focusing on the markets we do well in, like Virginia Street. We're looking at continued expansion and capitalization of the rapid service, because that is doing well. But we are also going through a very thorough analysis to look at our other routes and services to make sure we're getting the most bang for the buck out of those, and we're going to be talking to our board in the February retreat about different strategies and methods approaches for dealing with
that. Now, one of the things that has come up in the paper, the Ring Gazette Journal, they've been out front on this story, was a cost overruns of the 4th Street bus depot. There was, what, $2.3 million that was spent without approval?
We had a cost overrun. There is an issue surrounding how the change orders were approved and how the board really got to those change orders after the work was done, and we're looking into that whole issue.
Now, it says you were going to look into this last week. Have you found any conclusions? Do you know where that lapse was?
We have some procedural notions about that. I also have some other issues I'm looking at that I can't discuss at the moment for legal reasons, but we are moving forward. You know, let me just say this about 4th Street Station. At the end of the day, the 4th Street Station project was built still under the engineer's estimate. The 4th Street
Which was what, about 18 million?
It was about $22 million was the engineer's estimate.
Okay.
We came in, I think, at 17, 18. So we're still under the engineer's estimate. We're still in compliance with our grant agreement. But I think we should take a look, though, at the more important issue, which is making sure. One of my things that I've been very proud of at the RTC is transparency and openness. We've moved to where now many more of the action items since I've started now go to the board, including change orders, including looking into the black box, if you will, of how we administer projects. We're going to look at the 4th Street Station project, and we're going to make sure that we continually make sure the board is in the loop and has information in advance. I will tell you this, to go back to kind of repeat myself, we're not in violation of any federal grant agreements. We use federal funds for that project. Those, everything
just
is
kind of a
there.
PR. I mean, people hear $296,000 for bird spikes and Iazi and Schmidt or Anya for that. I mean, that's
a Reno City Council people. It is important, and I think they have an important point to make here. You know, the bird spikes issue was a design question. I think the design question should have been in front of the board, and it wasn't. And I think that's an important, matter for us to deal with and make sure that doesn't happen again. If you go down and look at 4th Street Station, I think it is an architectural addition to the downtown area. It's going to play a key role in the economic revitalization of downtown. But we need to make sure that partnership between the staff and the elected stays strong and firm. We need to remember who we work for. We work for the elected officials, and at the end of the day, I want to make sure.
Well, and the taxpayer.
And the taxpayer. You're absolutely right.
Okay, but your point is well made here, which is that this is an entire city block that's been revitalized, that was not in very good shape when the RTC took it over, and you've actually moved from the area located across from the bowling stadium further up the street, and that opens up more potential for redevelopment.
That's correct. That's correct.
One of the things that RTC was also looking at a few years ago was a light rail down Virginia Street, and I'm trying to remember the cost of that. What, about $1.5 billion or so? Is that something that you are still pursuing and hoping for? I know that we're talking about no more earmarks, and I think that was predicated on maybe, Barack Obama, raining money down on Nevada, but I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore, is it?
Well, I don't. We are still looking at a streetcar concept, and that comes from down from $1 billion to more like $200 million. We're looking at it from a standpoint of, one, a public-private partnership, two, making sure that the businesses are on board, three. Remember what I said, the Virginia Street Corridor is one of our success stories in public transit.
How many riders on that a day?
We carry about 8,500 to 8,800 a day.
So, how about throughout the system? What's your ridership throughout the entire system?
Ridership throughout the system is around 22,000 a day. I like people to think of that in terms of Kitsky Lane. That's about the number of person trips on Kitsky Lane a day. So to me, ride, from a transportation planner's viewpoint, ride is about like, serves us, gives us the same service level as a Kitsky Lane. Would we want to take Kitsky Lane out of our street system? I doubt it. So, ride is kind of providing that level of service. The other thing I want to point out about ride that's important for people to remember, about half the trips on ride are work trips. That's people going to work. That's an important service market today for us, because I think all of us would agree, any individual we can get to a job to help them generate income and participate in the economy is a good thing. And I think that's something, I know when we look at our route system, we want to make sure we connect people from where they live to where they work so they can continue those jobs.
All right, more on transportation when we come back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Gentlemen, the football and good friends, huh?
Yeah.
All
right. Boys will be boys.
I need to grow mine.
Come on, Rocket, let's go. Get over here.
Dude, I'm so tired.
Oh, babe, I'm fine.
No, really. It's not a big deal. I'm done.
Hey, I got this.
Bad decision. Number 28.
Have it
your
way.
Penalty will be enforced.
You're under arrest for driving under the influence.
Make the right call. Don't drink and drive. And always buckle up.
Why is Check City the place to sell your gold or silver for cash? Allow me to demonstrate with a simple experiment.
For your dollar, would you like one scoop or three scoops?
Three scoops, of course.
Proving once again, people prefer three times more for their money. Check City buys gold and pays three times more than cashforgold.com.
Check City. Take advantage of all-time high gold values today.
The best just got better. Northern Nevada's greatest, tastiest burger joint is making it even easier with you in mind. Tahoe Burger, just off of Robb Drive, is streamlining their daily menu. From breakfast to dinner, you get to build your own with your favorites. Same delicious burgers, same sumptuous breakfast. The difference, you pick the size and the fixings. Build your own with the same top quality ingredients, same great taste, all in an affordable price. It's Tahoe Burger, making it better your way. Tahoe Burger, the burger with altitude.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Lee Gibson. He's the executive director of the RTC in Washoe County. I wanted to talk to you about, and for folks in Southern Nevada are not aware of this, for many, many, many years, there's been an attempt to build an additional link that over the years has been called the Tahoe Pyramid Link. It's now called the Southeast Connector. And folks that live in Hidden Valley, a part of Reno, have just been adamantly against this and have fought it and fought it and fought it and prevented it from being built. But over the years, the RTC has built other sections of it in the southeast part of town. But now I understand that you're actually put a date on building this thing. How have you accomplished this?
Well, I think...
Are you a miracle worker? If so...
I don't know that I'm the miracle worker. Some of my staff members may be the miracle worker. But I think couple things, Sam. One, we've always been up front with the citizens. We've gone out to the neighborhoods, the NABs and the CABs, and we've been very up front with our design concept. We've used a lot of advanced technologies on visualization. We want to show people that the visual impact is not, we're not putting a freeway in somebody's backyard. We've worked very closely with the flood control folks to make sure the crossing of the Truckee River goes smoothly. And I think as the region has grown, I think the regional understanding of the need to have a parallel link to 395 is important. We have a lot of folks who live up in Sparks. We have a lot of jobs in the southern part of Reno and Washoe County. We need to move people back and forth. Over 50% of our trips are on freeways, and we need to kind of even that out a little bit. And that Southeast Connector project is going to help us do that. And I think people are coming.
So that's not going to be a freeway. That's going to be a surface.
It's kind of like an arterial, super arterial concept. We'll have very limited. We're going to try to get wide spacing between.
Where do you expect most people to dump out on that?
Well, they'll get on in the north on the Sparks Boulevard area, and they'll get out down at the southern end by the shopping center, and the
Summit here.
Yeah,
okay.
Down through there, and I think that's pretty much where they'll go. And what we're going to try to do. But, Paul, you make an important point. We want to try to limit cross-street connectors. We want to make this a regional facility for regional trips. But at the same time, we're not going to build a freeway. We're going to build an arterial concept. We may even have room for transit in there in the future. So the idea is to really help that regional connectivity, again, from Sparks down to the south part.
For folks that live in Southern Nevada and not familiar with Reno, this is going to take a lot of pressure off the Northern Nevada Spaghetti Bowl.
Correct. Correct.
You know, Lee, RTC5, that did allow us to do some projects like this, get some of that money in. And you did mention before a question too for the buses not passing. How are you able to determine what pot of money goes to what projects? I mean, is that an easy thing, or is that kind of a balancing act with you? What goes to transit? What goes to roads?
Well, actually, it's pretty simple. We have legal restrictions on the use of the funds, so RTC5 money is limited to surface streets, and we have to limit those funds. And
is that all your funds, or are you able transfer some funds? Like, because question two didn't pass, but RTC5 didn't pass. Are you able to supplant some of those dollars that may have been going to roads and put it over to transit?
We've used sales tax dollars that... We've interchanged sales tax dollars, and we've always done this since 2002, between roads and highways.
Roads and transit.
I'm sorry, roads and transit. And that's something the statute allows us to do, and we've done that effectively over the years. The fuel taxes that underlie RTC5, however, cannot be used for transit. So they're used for surface street type things, and we limit those dollars to those types of projects.
Now, one of the things that people have approached me on, they say, hey, Washoe County is now one of the highest places in the country for fuel because of RTC5. Have you seen people go elsewhere, or fuel receipts go, people buy more fuel in Story County or in Lyon County or Carson City?
No, not really. I think people recognize RTC5 as a jobs creation investment approach. I think people are happy that the dollars that they're paying are coming back to their community, staying in the community, and going towards projects that are going to create jobs, but more importantly, create long-term value for economic diversification.
You know, I have to agree with you. I mean, I take great pleasure in seeing all the people that work alongside the freeways right now, and I know the same story is true in Southern Nevada. It's bringing a lot of good jobs. I wanted to ask you, we've got about a minute left here, about I-11. The governor was talking in the State of the State about needing to have the connection between Southern Nevada and Phoenix. But what are the ramifications for Northern Nevada as well as this project continues on?
Well, I think if we were to ever get an interstate built from Las Vegas to some connection of I-80, maybe near Fernley, I think that could be a great investment and enhancer for especially cargo and motor freight transportation. I think the reality is back in Washington, there aren't the funds to expand the interstate system, so I'm kind of not expecting to see I-11 investments anytime soon. Anything, though, again, I'm a big proponent of transportation and transportation investments to create long-term value and create comparative advantage. I think the I-11 concept is a great concept. I think we'll benefit tremendously. Remember,
let me ask you, because I mean, I agree with you. Seconds. Are there some projects that don't do that we're spending money on, where maybe we should look at transferring those dollars, prioritizing to the projects that do have an economic benefit?
Not to my knowledge.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you back on the program. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
On the next face-to-face, who's to blame for rampant sick leave among Clark County firefighters? Is it the firefighters, their chiefs, or the commissioners who approved those contracts that allowed for abuse? Fire Union Chief Ryan Beeman, Commissioner Steve Sisolak, next face-to-face.
You already know, Evergreen is far and away the finest carpet cleaning service in Northern Nevada. However...
You know, I wish you guys could do something with wood floors.
I'm on it.
Huh?
Now, complete cleaning of all wood floors, only from Evergreen Carpet Care. We've got the expertise and the specially designed machines to safely clean your wood floors down to the original luster, and we can even refinish them.
You did it!
Like I said, I'm on it.
For the ultimate in cleaning, it's Evergreen Carpet and Wood Floor Care.
Free bankruptcy answers. At Laub & Laub, we've been giving you real answers right now since 1965. We're Laub & Laub. You shouldn't have to pay to get your legal questions answered. Free legal answers now.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, Ty Cobb will be here, former special assistant to President Reagan. He's going to discuss the 100th anniversary of the birth of President Reagan. We'll see you on the next broadcast.